In this sitting, I'll introduce the instructions for the second, and we'll also be there for the other sessions in the afternoon. We're still building with our stabilizing and settling. And it may be we'll have a longer sitting now, and it may well be that we're still bringing a lot of attention simply to the breath or some other object and keeping on coming back. We want to continually do that. With this second set of instructions, we're bringing in more explicitly the mindfulness practice. I would say if the mind is somewhat settled, we can go more fully to the mindfulness practice and these instructions. If we're still quite active in our minds or more distracted, then I would stay primarily with the stabilizing and settling practice. But for many or most of us, we'll have some degree of stability. And so here we bring in more explicitly the quality of mindfulness. Mindfulness is this ability to track what's happening in the present moment, to know that it's happening, and to be able to explore what's going on, sometimes in a quite active way, bringing in some of those elements of curiosity and interest that I mentioned earlier. Two readings about what the nature of mindfulness is. The first from probably 2,000 years ago. Mindfulness signifies presence of mind and heart, attentiveness to the present. It has the characteristic of not wobbling, not floating away from its focused object. Its function is absence of confusion or non-forgetfulness. And then more contemporary from Sylvia Boorstein. Mindfulness is the aware, balanced acceptance of present experience. Acceptance in the sense of allowing it to be there. Not moral acceptance, but more the allowance of it to be there. Mindfulness is the aware, balanced acceptance of present experience. It isn't more complicated than that. It is opening to or receiving the present moment, pleasant or unpleasant, just as it is, without either clinging to it or rejecting it. So it's this very simple function. It is something where we require some stability of mind, so hence the earlier practices are crucial for really well-developed mindfulness. And then we are with whatever's happening, allowing it to be what it is without pushing it away or grabbing hold. And of course, we tend to push away what we don't like. We tend to grab hold of what we like. And the practice of mindfulness lets us be with things whether we like them or not. The aim of the mindfulness is to see or discern clearly what's going on. So it's not just about having a peaceful mind at all, since we can be mindful with difficult states, as we'll see later. There also can be a flavor of warmth or kindness. I think a full mindfulness will actually have a warm or kind approach to our experience. Much in the way that when we give full attention to someone and listening, there's an element of warmth or kindness there when we're just there. And as mindfulness matures, it also has this kind quality of really being with experience as it's happening, and can be kindness, can be even a sense of compassion. Oh, this is to be with the ups and downs of human experience. Ah. Oh. This has its challenges, this has its beauties. There can be this compassion there as well. generally three types of mindfulness. We want to use all three of them. The first is simply the noting of what's happening. And sometimes things will be happening quickly. We simply want to know that they're happening. Oh, that thought occurred. You know, we notice it, it's gone, right? But we can notice, oh, judgment, judgmental mind. Oh, there's, this relationship, okay. And we can give it, with the noting, we can give it a label so we know what's happening. We have a little more precision. You know, if we're not sure, we can just use the term thinking. So this labeling is something that is, ultimately it's an optional technique, but for a lot of people it's very helpful. For some people it doesn't work. It may make your mind more active. So there we want to be very light with it, very light with it. And we don't need to worry so much about what's happening. You know, like spend a minute or two saying, okay, was that discouragement or was that frustration? Well, I think it, you know, how do I distinguish them? Oh, not that. Okay. So we want to keep it simple. As I was saying earlier, maybe have a list of the four or five top personal items and then just some of the basics that occur when they're occurring. You know, it could be judgmental mind or sadness or joy or peace or calm and so forth. And so we can make those mental notes for different thoughts and emotions as they come through. We can also sometimes use that label if there is a bodily experience, if we are feeling sensation in the body or maybe a sense of calm in the body, we can also use labels there. When something lasts longer and our mind is fairly stable, we can start exploring whatever is occurring when it lasts for a while. And this is particularly valuable with emotions or with thought emotion complexes, right? Where we may have maybe some irritation from something that happened yesterday, it lasts for a while, right? It doesn't just go away. Then we can actually be there and say, okay, let me just be with this. What's it like in the body? What's the narrative? We can, again, use these active questions to help us explore. We can have curiosity, especially for something repetitive, you know, and so actually can be an aid to becoming more skillful with mindfulness that something happened recently, you know, and our minds are there, and you can, maybe there's some irritation or some sadness or joy, to really, okay, know that joy is there, and just what's it like in the body, what's it like in the mind, what's it like in the emotional energy. And then the third form of mindfulness is to, and this happens over time, is we can, and this is something very applicable to daily life, we can sometimes see, start seeing the patterns. You know, we can see that, irritation developed, and then beneath that, maybe there was sadness. We can see how one thing leads to another. We can see how one thought triggers something else. Again, sometimes we can just note this, not to have a whole lot of thinking about all this, but these are important aspects of mindfulness of thoughts and emotions. First, the noting, just knowing what's there, which helps us. And secondly, the exploring, very valuable when something is there for a while. And then the seeing of patterns, which again, we may just not to put a lot of effort into, but we may notice it over time. Maybe just one more word. Sometimes when we have a very strong kind of thought or emotion, it's actually hard to be mindful. And in that case, let's say that there's a lot of irritation or anger from it. Let's say something happened yesterday, and the mind's just caught up in it. And we kind of know what's happening, but we can't really be mindful. What's skillful then is to find a way to shift out of it, to come out of being lost in something. And we could do that in a variety of ways. In daily life, we could do that by taking a walk, talking with someone. In a meditative context, sometimes we could bring in a heart practice, like loving kindness for a short time, or we could have some compassion. Or we might, in daily life, we might do something with the body and so forth. Here we might stand up, or we might actually, deliberately bring the attention to something pleasurable. Sometimes we could even open the eyes and just focus on something, could actually look to the bay, or just something that would help shift the energy. Sometimes we get caught in kind of an inner vortex, and it's helpful actually to open the eyes, look around, find something that's pleasurable, stay there for a while, kind of reset oneself. Okay, so those are several instructions. First, for mindfulness of thoughts and emotions, and then what to do if we're stuck. Okay, so with that, we'll sit now for a period of time, probably about half hour or so.